Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the April 26 edition of Commodity Week. In Chicago, futures are beginning to scramble and trying to figure out whether things are short or long or which direction to go. We'll try to find out today, too, on Commodity Week. Our panelists today in studio include Pete Manhart. He's a Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign. And Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watsika, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, Commodity Week is a production of University of Illinois and WILL, Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's start our discussion this week, gentlemen, with this question. Bill Mayer, December corn in Chicago was off 23 cents for the week, and there will be many producers who have been sitting by their tractors waiting to get into the cab to run the planter across many, many acres of corn. We are very, very far behind, certainly last year, and even the five-year rolling average, but it hasn't been recognized in Chicago just yet.
We're certainly getting to the point where the farmers are getting anxious to get out there. I took a little trip today, about 165 round trip, miles round trip, and I didn't see anything except for some planters sitting in the sheds and in the farm lots, just no activity at all. But, I mean, I think what we hear out of Chicago is that, we can get this crop planted in a hurry anymore. We've got a lot better equipment than that, and I think that's true. We have geared up over the last 5-6 years, and also that I think you hear a lot about 2009. 2009 was a late year, and we had a very good crop that year, but of course we were cool and wet that whole summer, where a lot of years when you're late planted, you end up getting caught by that heat in July and August.
Pete Manhart?
Yeah, it's not recognized there. The last time we really had a bad flood area and really late, Chicago didn't recognize it on prices until mid to late July. So the opportunity is still out there to get things planted because of forecasts of warmer and drier. As we progress and planting doesn't occur, maybe we'll get recognized. But right now it's sell any rally because we're going to get everything planted and have a good crop.
And Merrill Crowley.
Yeah, I think it's not a problem at this time, but it's soon going to be if we keep postponing our planting dates more and more. So with our large equipment, we can get across this land pretty quick.
Again, in Chicago, December corn this week, a $5.24 settlement price. It was 23 cents lower than it was last Friday. The nearby May contract had a top at $6.49.5. The bottom there was $6.36. May corn settled at $6.44, down 8 cents for the week. The losses weren't nearly as great in the nearby contract or the old crop corn as the new crop corn, about a third, in fact. Is that just in respect to the short supply that is available?
Yeah, how do you find corn to use? The end product is not being readily available out there. You can see it on the basis. So the old has held up because of that lack of anybody ready to sell. The new crop is just thought by industry that, you know, we'll have a great crop and we'll push it lower.
What do you see, Bill, when you look at the old crop corn in such tight supplies? Despite what USDA's numbers may say at the end of the year, the feel at least continues to be really short in our part of the world, maybe different in other parts of the Midwest. And then you've got the futures looking at a really, really big supply of corn coming on from for the new harvest month, and trying to weigh the two of those out in the minds of farmers. I know they understand the different crop years, but it can be very difficult.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we're dealing with here recently. Along with that, we've had, I think, an outflow of capital out of the commodities, just commodities in general. And that's really the problem that we're kind of facing from a market standpoint is, you know, who are we going to get to buy this thing? The end users, I think, with the drop in prices, even on the old crop, I think they're kind of feeling a little bit more comfortable right now. And not in a panic mode anyhow, and we don't really see a lot of big spec money, fund money type coming into the market. So I think that's one of the things, we need something here to get somebody excited about getting back in on the long side of the market.
Well,
and what that might be, we may have to wait for some summer weather, I guess.
Yeah, would you agree with that? Summer weather is what we're waiting on at this time?
You know, the basis I track, you know, there's pops here and there, and there's been a gradual move up. But most of it's been pretty stable from what I track, and in some areas actually have gone down ever since the report where they said we had approximately 400 million more. So that's going to give you a little more time, and like Bill said, we do have this crop. You know, I think the people have done a good job of getting them supplied up. Now, wait off into June, July, add a little more delay to the weather. Yeah, things could pop pretty quick.
And we're even seeing that a little bit. I had a feeder this week that was looking at maybe getting some September corn booked. I think the best offer he could get was like $1.25 over or something like that. So, I mean, when you go out there far enough to where you're trying to book corn ahead, it's some pretty, at least from a selling side, there's some pretty high basis levels.
Yeah, tight supply nearby, basis levels of how do we get it down here? We've been using corn out of Canada. We've been using corn out of Minnesota for a long time. Where is it going to come from when we get to June, July, and August? And that's the fear on old crop. On new crop, it's just the idea and the trade is that we'll have a good crop and there won't be any problem.
We do have to work, I suppose, with a normal crop year, despite the fact that we're behind at the moment. Many think we will catch up. And if you work with a normal crop year, when we get to the time harvest rolls around, are there many concerns that there will be so much corn available and in the same process that the export market won't pick back up, that those folks will have found other places they find more reasonable or valuable to them that they might wait for again?
Well, I think from an export standpoint, I think we'll need to price ourselves, we being the United States, we'll need to price ourselves back into the market. And I mean, I think that's a function of price. As far as, you know, the supplies of corn, I mean, we're still looking at, even with the USDA numbers that we saw on this last report, very, you know, less than pipeline supplies going into that period. So I think it'll take some time for the elevators to get filled back up, you know, ready to ship out and that type of thing. I don't see that we're going to have until we really get into maybe the gut slot part of the harvest, I think we're going to be seeing some pretty good demand take away our crop as we bring it in.
We also don't have much early planted anywhere. So that stuff that was early planted last year in the South and even here that was ready to be harvested in August and September and used, there might not be much of that around. So that could affect the old crop a lot more also.
Yeah, so I want to talk just a bit about the gap time frame, that August to September when we would have normally probably, and some years, corn coming in from the South that would help fill the gap if we were in short supply. That's not going to happen this year. So we're going to have a time frame in there that we may be really in desperate need of corn. What happens?
Well, it kind of depends. First of all, we've got about 4 million bushels that we have yet to ship of corn. What's going to happen to that? Are they going to cancel it in lieu of cheaper South American corn? By the time you move to that time period, South America is going to have less exports, you know, waiting. They'll have caught up and they'll be able to ship. Maybe South America has or Argentina has gotten their farmers to sell a little more, so there'll be supply there. And the other thing is we got $400 million. That takes us a little longer too. So depending on how those all balance out, yeah, we could be tight, but we also could have plenty of corn.
I guess I'm not quite ready to say, you know, we're not going to have any corn early. I mean,
USDA, by the way.
I mean, a lot of that depends on the summer weather and what happens during the summer. I mean, if we get corn planted by the 15th of May and have a average or above temperature-wise, I mean, we can still get some corn in pretty good shape next fall.
What do you tell producers at this time? Looking at their crop, they probably have it insured 80-85% or better. Is there anything that they need to do to protect themselves right now?
Well, we've kind of been pushing really since December as far as getting those uninsured bushels covered, and I think we have done a pretty good job of that. But if a guy hasn't got that done, you know, I don't really like selling a lot of corn down here, but maybe I was looking today, you go out to like March time frame and buy a put, sell, call or something like that to get some kind of protection on. That's kind of about the best I can come up with at this point.
Yeah, we've been selling calls, buying puts. We've been doing this though, since last fall also, but a lot of people have done nothing, just thinking that all the corn will go back to $7. And I have trouble seeing corn going back to $6 on new crop. So we're actively trying to sell calls and buy puts on any bounce up.
We still have, I think, a good opportunity, and I'm sorry to disagree, but we can hit $6, depending on what kind of weather problems we run into. Nobody knows at this point. I think you have to be flexible. If you're going to sell cash and cash is profitable now, you sell some cash, you look to buy it back. If not, you use flexibility either in buying put options or you use the board. It's, you know, I think the key here, and even with last week's price movements, is being flexible.
July wheat this week, 692.5, down 19 cents for the week. Soybeans finished the nearby May contract with a top at $14.32 on the week, the bottom at $14.02. 30 cents isn't much of a spread in the bean market, it doesn't seem these days. May soybeans settled at $14.30¾. They're just 2.5 cents higher on the week. November beans at $12.10¼, down 2¾. Pete, when you look at the soybean market, it's supposed to be really, really tight. You know that folks are hunting for them, but the marketplace isn't particularly volatile.
But the basis, $1.15 over on July right now, they got over 15 cash today in a few places. So the basis is doing the work instead of the board right now on old crop beans. I continue to see that basis move back and forth. This week we had things a lot lower than this, and they came back maybe a 40 cent range this week from low to high. And I think we're going to continue to see that as end users try to figure out how to locate the cash corn, beans.
Is the lack of volatility in Chicago for the week at least predicated on the available supply coming out of South America? So it's there for the world, but in the United States, domestic supply is very short.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the beans maybe compared to the corn, I don't know that we've done as good a job of rationing the demand on the bean side of it as we have maybe on the corn side of the market as far as usage. But you look at our export numbers, I just am not sure that we still have cut back our exports as much as we need to cut those back here in the United States. We do have the South American crop coming in pretty good now. But the fly in the ointment on that might be this bird flu over there in China, and, you know, is that going to slow their demand enough to take care of some of that?
Merrill, are you – he used a word like ration, which normally means a higher price. Are you of that mind? And we'll come back to Bill and let him talk about whether he thinks a higher price is in the offing or not.
Sure, you could see higher prices. It's going to depend on first of all, we're starting to see Brazil loosen up a little bit on exports. Yeah, they're still behind. What happens if the farmers in Argentina get comfortable enough with their currency, they start to let loose some? Well, now we got another country pushing beans out there. Everybody, I think, one of the reasons keeping this old crop price down is a lot of people believed originally that China was going to cancel a lot of this. They were just being prepared in case they had a backup in Brazil, which they did. Now the bird flu's come in and dropped that back. So it is the tightest situation in all the grains that we have out there, is the soybeans and the meal. And so unless we get these cancellations, somewhere down the road the price will really pop.
Well, I don't know that I want to sit here and say we got to go a lot higher. Maybe in the cash market on old crop, I think we probably do. But, you know, if we just have to continue to increase acreage globally to keep up with our demand. If you look at the last 10 years, we need a lot of acres. I think the number that I figured there one day was around 5 to 6 million acres yearly increase in bean acres just to keep up with demand if we increase demand and continue to increase it like we have over the last 10 years.
Well, June live cattle in Chicago from the CME Group settled at $122.60. It was up $1.30 for the week. The feeders up 5, 12 and a half at 152.17 and a half. And June lean hogs on the week at $92.52 were up $2.32. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with our guest today, Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group out of Chicago. In studio with us, Pete Manhart, Phil Mayer, and Merrill Crawley.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. Based on preliminary data, this April in Illinois is already the fourth wettest on record with 6.6 inches of precipitation. Average statewide precipitation for April is 3.8 inches, so we are already almost 2 inches above average. Precipitation was heaviest in the northern third of Illinois with amounts of 7 to 9 inches. There was a second band of heavy precipitation just north of Interstate 70, also with amounts of 7 to 9 inches. It is no surprise, then, that we have seen record flooding along the Illinois, Wabash, and Mississippi rivers. According to the National Weather Service, temperatures will begin to warm this weekend with highs in the low to mid-60s across the state on Saturday. Lows on Saturday night will range from the low 40s in the north to the low 50s in the south. High Sundays will be in the mid to upper 60s across Illinois. Low Sunday night will be in the 40s. Highs on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be in the low to mid 70s, while the lows will be in the 50s. A low pressure system will move through southern Illinois on Saturday, bringing moderate amounts of precipitation of an inch or less into that region, but the rest of the state should be spared. The next chance for rain is for late Wednesday when a strong cold front sweeps through the state. At this stage, the amounts are expected to be less than half an inch and mostly confined to northwest Illinois. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the April 26th edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Merrill Crawley out of Crawley Commodities in Watseka, Illinois, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. On the phone line is Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group in Chicago. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Roy. Are they bears or bulls in Chicago? And I know they're usually both.
Well, I think the bulls have been pretty beat up. they every time they try to rally the markets, so they get no follow through.
And your current position on the marketplace?
Well, we feel that Dease Corn has gone deep enough that it has made counts, at least initial counts, at 520. And we've encouraged people to come away from short hedges. You're just a short-term trade. You get up to 540, 545, 550. We'll be selling it back out. We think eventually, once corn is growing and the farmer's feeling a little better about what his crop potential looks like, we'll go to 450. In beans, we feel like there's still a lot of downside potential in beans. We're afraid if we do lose a few corn acres in the northern plains, it'll go to beans. maybe we'll get some that goes to prevent plant. Those guys like that up there. But I think that we're dealing with a higher bean acres and a bean crop out of South America that won't go away. South American bean crop is 145 million tons this year, up from 115 last year. They're having logistics problems, and they'll still be shipping beans at big discounts to U.S. beans all the way through Ocknovendies.
Hey, Roy, I've heard, of course, heard you talk some on the Squawk Box, and that this bird flu thing over there in China, could you kind of, I mean, when you just look at the numbers, I'm not sure that I see exactly what the risks are there, but why is that such a big deal right now from the standpoint of soybeans?
Well, I think that the Chinese take 65% of all the world bean trade, and their big push has been because of increased meat consumption, per capita meat consumption in China. And this avian flu has caused the consumer in China to go behind closed doors and lock the door and not come back out. So they're not buying pork. They're not buying poultry. They're going back to old, tried and true diets that include a lot of vegetables. There have been 108 known patients, and there have been 23 deaths. So if you get this stuff, you're very likely to die. And that's why they're so fearful of it. So what has happened is that the feed margins in China have deteriorated dramatically, and you're talking about a 25 or 30% reduction in feed consumption. So the bean demand that China's had will quickly slip away, and instead of importing 63 or 64 million tons, it's looking like they'll import 58 or 59 million tons.
In the world on meal, is the outlook on the meal the same way, or is it a little tighter?
Even if they import 58 million tons, China's going to export meal. They exported 300,000 tons in March, which is the first meal they've exported in a couple of years. I think that the question mark is if they get their bean crushed down to where they can't make their veg oil supplies that they need, that they'll buy oil around the world. And that comes at the same time that we're trying to make biodiesel out of soybean oil. And I think that the trade here is that the oil production gets sucked down pretty hard. Sucks down ending stocks of soy oil pretty hard.
And how much of an impact will that have on the soybean market? Because by 2014, if they don't change things in the RFS, it'll suck it down dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a potential problem, Todd. I think by the end of this year, in September, October of 2013, you'll be down to minimum pipelines in soybean oil. What does that do to beans? It tends to support bean values to the extent that meal doesn't hold together. It's very difficult to determine how the bean complex handles all the moving parts. But I think that you can anticipate that beans this summer are so tight that crush margins go to negative numbers. So that means that July beans gains on July meal and July oil. Right now I think the crush is showing about 53 cents. And July beans will gain on meal and oil. In the backside of that trade, as meal finds that it's got a lot of competition, DDGs have gotten really cheap relative to meal here in the last 2 or 3 weeks. We're trading about 90% of corn. And you're going to see a lot of people bring DDGs back in to replace soybean meal. And you can't go get an offer of soybean meal for the summer months, June, July. The crusher, just they won't offer you anything because they don't know what they're going to have to pay for the beans.
How many acres or supply do you feel we need to remove from the market in order to keep the new crop corn from dropping below 5?
I'm using a 95 million planted acres right now, so I'm down 2.5 from what I would have been at early in the year, and I'm using a 158 yield, and that gives me a 2.4 carryout next year. and I think a 2-4 carat, you will trade below $5 in Dease corn.
What's the attitude as far as the planting? And we discussed that earlier on the program in Chicago. You know, traders, what are they? Are they watching it closely? Or are they just not concerned at all? Or what?
Oh, absolutely, they're watching it very closely, hanging on every weather forecast. The issue for the last 2 days has been this cutoff low next week. We don't know where it's going to set up and where it brings water and where it doesn't. At this point right now, the northern half of Illinois, including Champaign, I think has a 7-day window. And we warm up into the 70s and get a little wind, we will find that we dry out pretty fast, especially on all that great tiled ground we've got down there. I've got guys in the area that think they'll plant Monday, Tuesday. In the real light soils up here in northern Indiana and southern Michigan and northwest Ohio, where we've got a lot of sand, they'll be running Sunday and Monday.
Here I have people telling me they won't run for 10 days, even if it doesn't rain and the wind blows 80. Does anybody understand any of that?
Well, that would be problematic. I will tell you that the farm community that I talk to, there'll be guys trying to run Sunday and Monday. They'll go around mud puddles. They'll do the hilltops first. But the farmer's very anxious, and he's going to be doing what he can to put seed in the ground.
Back when we had the swine flu, we saw corn prices and hog prices drop pretty severely for a part of time. But it, I think about it in somewhere like a year's time, we saw that come back, the prices come back. How long do you really see this demand for soybeans being affected with the bird flu?
Well, I don't know how long it takes China to fix the bird flu, but I think you're missing a bigger point. And I don't think that the entire issue has been bird flu. I think that the U.S. farmer has been living in a utopia. We've had crop failures he's been protected with his insurance program, so it's not led to any major reductions in income. The rest of the world sees this, they like what they see, they like these prices, and they are expanding production. You've got North Africa's wheat crop will be 10 to 15% higher because of improved weather and expanded acres. You've got Canada telling you they're going to plant 12% more wheat. You've got the FSU and Western Europe trying to plant more wheat. They've got some problems a little bit, but the issue is that they're the world is going to grow more. We don't live in a vacuum. South America trades corn, trades into Asian destinations today at $25 a ton cheaper than U.S. corn. They've got a 103, 104 million ton corn crop compared to 96 last year. And a lot of it's come on the back of a real strong second crop in Brazil. They're still going to be shipping corn at $25 a ton discount to U.S. corn in Octanove and Dease.
Roy, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group in Chicago. A quick word from our panelist in studio, Bill Mayer.
Well, I think there will be a rush to get out here and get started on planting. I just urge all of our listeners to be safe and take your time. The job will get done, and hopefully we'll have good conditions to get it in.
Pete Manhart?
I agree with that. Be careful out there, and when you have bounces up, be ready to protect the downside.
And Merrill Crowley.
Yeah, I would suggest everybody have a backup plan in case you're going to look kind of foolish if you get to this fall and prices are down around $4.
And usually I don't say anything, but for Emerson Napsiger, I will say don't go in too early. It's not worth the problems that you create in your soils. That wraps up this Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.